Pastor Steve Crombie, welcome everybody. Good to see smiling faces. Happy Father's Day, dads. Raise your hand if you're a dad. Got a bunch. Everyone give the dads high fives, air high fives, air high fives. Yeah. Well, this is just saying up front, this will be a different Sunday. I had a completely different plan going into this week than how it ended. And I'm trying to be led by the Holy Spirit. So, yeah. So it was a difficult week, to say the least. We did have a funeral yesterday. Linda Miller, Brian Miller's grandmother, passed away. Funeral here yesterday. Linda had started coming here a year and a half ago when her husband died, and we did his funeral, and I was, prior to that, able to lead them both to understand Christ crucified. And it was powerful. What an honor it was. And then and she started coming after her husband passed. And with no warning, she died with no sickness, no expectation. I had just talked to her not long ago during the shutdown to see how she's doing, and she just sounded great, fine. She lives in Kenyon. And then she's gone. So it was a tough week. She's asleep. Temporary. She's temporarily sleeping. So anyway, I got some all kinds of thoughts going on in my head that I just couldn't shake. And I intended on, it's not even going to be a PowerPoint. I intended on continuing a series on the multifaceted Jesus. And in a way, I will continue in that way because every message is about Jesus, one way or another. He's the name above all names. He is why we have hope of heaven. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and Omega. So it's all about Jesus. But this is a really different direction, different approach. And if this is your, hey Zach, good to see you. If this is your first time here, I hope you walk away having met with the living God. So, with that set up, I'm going to tell you a joke. And I rarely tell jokes, at least intentional jokes. Sometimes jokes come when I didn't intend it to come, but this is a joke. So Ole tells his wife, Lena, that he's going to clear out those 20 trees in the back 40. And so he spends all day with an axe, and he's only able to get one tree down. He's exhausted. He said, that's it. And I'm not even going to try to do the whole Norwegian accent, because terrible at that, until the very end. Okay. And so he goes to the hardware store, buys a chainsaw, and he goes out to the forest there, and he works all day slaving away, and he's still only able to get one tree down. And so he says, this thing must be defective. He brings it back to the hardware store, says, you sold me a piece of yunk, and a little bit there. And the salesman takes it, and he goes, well, that's odd. He goes, here, let me see. And he takes it, he sets the choke, and fires it up. And Ole jumps back and says, bust that noise. Okay. So that's the setting for my message, actually. There's two reasons I told that old, old joke. And one is to ask, if we're amused by that, does that mean we're racist? We live in Minnesota. All the jokes are Ole and Sven and Lena jokes. And why? Because we're a lot of Norwegians. You know, we tell meaning Minnesotans, are the butt end of our own jokes. You know, I grew up in the Chicago area, and it was Polack jokes. It was all Polack. It never even occurred to me until I have a close college friend who is 100% Polish, and it's like, how come all the jokes are Polish jokes? And I kind of lost interest in telling Polack jokes. Well, in Louisiana, the jokes are Thibodeau and Boudreaux. You know, Boudreaux said to his wife, I'm going to go out and cut down those 20 trees. And right? It's French Cajun. And it's like, it's wherever you go. Does that make us racist? I am really grieved, and this is what's been weighing heavily on me for the last several weeks, but by the news, and that, you know, racism is ugly and evil. The idea that somehow one race is superior to another. And I know it exists. I wish it didn't exist. I don't even like seeing movies. You know, when I was a kid, we watched Roots, the whole series. You couldn't binge watch it. You had to watch one, you know, a week. Because TVs didn't have internet. Internet was made of wood back then. And so it took several months of watching Roots and things like that. And it always grieves me. It's like, I hate watching. You know, it gets to the point where there's, you know, abuse and slavery and wickedness. It's like, I don't even like seeing that. Just like I don't like watching, I watched Schindler's List once, and I can't watch it again. It's like, it's just brutal. Nazi Germany and World War II, the Holocaust and concentration camps and all that, it's difficult for me to watch. And I think most people see the beauty and the value in the various expressions of the one human race. There's one race of humanity. And of course, not everyone sees the beauty and value in it. I wish they did, but they don't. There's people that don't appreciate people of different color. And I read that if you say you're not racist, then you're a racist. But if you don't say anything, then you're a racist. And so I don't know where to go with that. But I am going to say some things because I don't like preaching. I feel like I need to apologize if this is your first week, because I don't like preaching on the social evil of the week or the social gospel. But that's why I wrestled, because I feel like I have to say something as your pastor. And it's like, God, what can I say? I can say, I love people. And I think you love people. I love people of all colors. And I grew up with Sanford and Son, the Jeffersons, good times, in Chicago. It never occurred to me that somehow my white skin is better than their dark skin. It just wasn't even it wasn't a thought. It wasn't an experience. And I know there is experience. It's evil for some. And I wish it wasn't. I grew up also with National Geographic magazine, and was fascinated because magazines were made of paper back then, not pixels. And I was fascinated, always fascinated by the different people groups from around the world, and the more exotic, the more fascinating to me. That's why I married someone from South Dakota, really wild, foreign, just a foreign culture, just a crazy, faraway land. There's another one. You did crazy South Dakotans. But the more different, the more it fascinated me. And not because I thought they were better than me or worse than me. It's just like, wow. And I didn't even know Christ. I didn't know. It was not like I was a believer then. And no offense to all of you, but, you know, because you look like me, I'm fascinated by people that don't look like me. In Chicago area, in Illinois, it was automatic to be taught French in third grade. Third, fourth, and fifth grade. It wasn't a choice, it wasn't an option. You're taught French. And I, at the time, thought this is the most ridiculous waste of time ever. I don't know anyone French. I am never going to France. Why would I learn this foreign language that nobody could use? And years later, I'm in Haiti. And people are saying, bonjour, bonsoir. I'm like, they're saying good morning and good afternoon. And I know what they're saying. And they're speaking French. Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I pay attention? Stupid me. I could have had been bilingual for free. And so, I don't know, I went there probably four times, this church, and a lot of what I'm saying is going to be from my personal experience and perspective, but it really carries to this ministry, because a lot of you in this room have been in Haiti with me. And so, again, beautiful people, horrible conditions, horrible poverty, horrible daily life, amazing people, beautiful people. It's a mix of loving, kind, wonderful people and some angry, mean people. Like every other people group, there's always a mix. And so I want to learn the language. It's like, so we have the pastor's younger brother who speaks fluent English. And so I'm asking him, how do you say this? How do you say that? Say, como ye. Everyone say, como ye. That's hello, how are you in French Creole. And then after a few days, I'd learned some things because we were hanging out with mostly kids doing some construction in a school. And after a while, I was able to say, Kija Uele, meaning, what is your name? And Kilaiju, how old are you? And I knew a little bit of, remembered my numbers in French. And it's very similar, different. French Creole is not just French. It's a variation on it. But it was fun. And then how do you say, Jesus loves you? Jay-Z Lemayu. Jay-Z Lemayu. I love, Jesus is Jay-Z. That was fun. Jay-Z. That's easy. And so I could say Jay-Z LeMayu to these kids, and they go, ah. And Jay-Z LeMayu loves me. Jesus loves me. And then my favorite, Jay-Z LeMayu Tout Moon, which Jesus loves all people. Tout Moon. Jay-Z LeMayu Tout Moon. It's just a fun thing to say. And God told Abraham, I will bless all nations through you. And we are part of that process. We're part of that process of being a blessing and blessing all nations. And I've been to Israel twice. Raise your hand if you've been to Israel. I know several in this room. And again, Shalom, you know. So, como ye is how are you, and French Creole, Shalom is hello, how are you, and in Israel. Again, beyond amazing people and place, of course, that the sights and the sounds and everything is just. And then we've been to Guatemala. I've been to Guatemala a couple times. I know a lot of you in this room have been to Guatemala. Hola. There's another hola. I realize I can probably say hello, how are you, in about 6 languages, which is kind of fun. And again, fell in love with the people. I'm learning Spanish because I believe I'll be going back. And I'm trying to better communicate for future trips. Been to Mongolia 3 times. Sanbano. Is again, how are you? Hello, in Mongolian. Another beyond description, incredible place, incredible people. We were asked to go there to teach Bible school students, 2-year students. And one of them gave me this handmade big leather buckle belt that he punched, he made, he sewed, as an appreciation gift for coming for the week to teach every day. And I was honored to receive it. Those guys were, they have a history of being ruthless warriors. They were back in, we say Genghis Khan, they pronounce it Chinggis Khan. They love their history with Chinggis Khan. They ruled from Korea to Hungary, which is borders Austria. So from Korea to Hungary, all what is now Russia and more, they would take several horses and they would sneak attack nations and villages, cities. They would take 6 horses and ride one of them hard, and then they'd jump on a different horse of the 6 and ride hard, and then jump on a different horse and ride hard. And if there was no water, they figured out how to carefully cut a vein of the horse and drink their blood to keep themselves hydrated and keep going, just so that they could surprise attack and destroy villages, nations of people. They are the reason that the Great Wall of China was built. The Mongolians. They ruled from 1206 to 1368. 162 years they ruled, dominated. It was an empire, the Chinggis Khan Empire. But I didn't return the belt because I knew these guys were ruthless warriors, pillagers, murderers, dominating peaceful people. I received the belt. I didn't return it because as far as I know, the guy that gave me the belt had never pillaged a single Chinese village, never destroyed any other neighboring people group. And I say this all because the movement Black Lives Matter is big in the news. And I'm all for the statement Black Lives Matter. If anyone's not for that statement, they need to repent. They're evil and they need to ask God's forgiveness because Black Lives Matter. And I think they more than matter. I think Black lives are sacred before God. They are made in the image of God. They are worth dying for. Jesus was sent to die for people of dark skin color. So, and that covers a lot of people groups. There's a lot of people with dark skin colors. It's not just African Americans that matter. I mean, even in Faribault alone, we have a large population of Sudanese and, of course, Somali, and their lives matter. They are worth dying for. In the same way with brown skin, you know, we talk about Hispanics. Well, what kind of Hispanics? Puerto Ricans, Cubans, Guatemalans, Hondurans, Mexicans, Cubans I mentioned. There's a lot of brown-skinned people. It's not just all the Hispanics. It's a lot of different. I'm not just a white guy, I'm Scotch-Irish. I'm Scottish. One of these days I'm going to figure out how to play those bagpipes, and I'm going to get up here and join the worship team for a song. Because, you know, the bagpipes is a weapon of warfare. It struck fear and dread in the hearts of those English, which I've forgiven the English for raiding and pillaging my ancestors. My son married a Brit, so we're good. I'm all for, I'm saying it's not just white skin, because there's white-skinned Germans, white-skinned Polish, white-skinned Czechs, white-skinned a lot of things. And if we were to dismantle people based on their ethnicity, my wife has a German background, part German. So I've removed her photo from every place in my house, because that's just what the Germans did to the Jews is horrible. So I've removed all her pictures from my house. Where does it end? You know, where does it end? My point is, we're all flawed. We all have some kind of human ancestry that was ugly in one way or another. I'm for respecting black people, but I wonder if BLM is. Because the rate of black on black, and I know there's kids in the room and I'm going to try to be sensitive, but the rate of black on black murder is through the roof. And the number of black unborn babies that are killed daily is in the hundreds and over 1,000, maybe 2,000 a day in America, a day. And there's nothing on BLM's website about trying to stop that. So I wonder, I agree that Black Lives Matter, but I don't support the BLM movement because some of their bylaws conflict with the laws of God. God's design for marriage and sexuality, they have a different take on. And I don't condemn them for their different take on it, because I would have agreed with them before Jesus came into my life and opened my eyes. I don't condemn them. I have no stones to throw, but I can't support the movement like I would support black lives. Can't endorse man's laws, man-made laws over God's laws. And I know I say this knowing that some within the movement would consider me a racist for that and would want to do me bodily harm or harm my family or harm my job or harm this place and would be happy to see this place burn to the ground. And that's why Jesus said, blessed are you when they persecute you and say all manner of things against you for righteousness, because of righteousness and because of me. Jesus said, blessed are you if you're persecuted for standing up for Christ. And that's why that's in the scripture in many different places and many different ways, is because not everyone's going to like what God says. And we have to choose, are we going to go with what God says, or are we going to go with what man and the culture says that changes all the time? And I can't take any credit for this, but again, I normally don't talk so much about myself. I don't think I do. Anyway, I try not to. But even my own house across on the east side of Faribault, it's a house that was built before the Civil War. So the abstract talks about it's Alexander Faribault on the abstract. Some of you have houses like that too in this town. And it I am told by many people from who don't know each other that our house was used in the Underground Railroad to free slaves heading north from the southern states. And Rodney Mott, the family that I believe the first family in my house, in our house, who also happened to start the deaf school for Christ, was a Christian school for the deaf, was used in the Underground Railroad. And some of the descendants of the Mott family, the great, great, not sure how far, grandchildren, came to our house a couple of years ago and knocked on the door and introduced, showed me a photo album of my yard and my, you know, old history photos, and said that Frederick Douglass, the famous orator for the abolition of slavery, which many of you maybe know who Frederick Douglass is, slept in our house as he was passing through town, staying with the Motts, to promote abolition, to promote the freeing of slaves. And I'm honored. I'm honored. Like I said, I can't take credit for that. That was all. Obviously, I found that out years after living there. And again, I'm not mad at any group that conflicts with God's design, like I was guilty of it myself, and receive the grace of God, and that's what I have for others. I have grace. I have forgiveness, but I don't have endorsement. And as your pastor, I want to caution you not to get snared by what looks like a good cause on the surface and accept some other things that would be a slap in God's face. Because the devil always tries to hide evil in a good package. Tries to bring garbage in a really nice way that no one can deny the nice way. Jesus will never say to a person on Judgment Day, "Depart from me, you person of a certain skin tone." Because all people are made in his image. He is the Lord of the nations. He gave his Son for the salvation of all people, of all nations. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He said to Abraham, "I will bless all nations through you." All nations will be blessed through you, Father Abraham, the father of many sons and daughters in Christ of all nations. But Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. I never knew you." And that's part of the fruit, not all the fruit that comes with that organization. It's lawless, evil, and happy to destroy other people, destroy careers, destroy property. Not all, but some. Problem isn't a skin issue, it's a heart issue. It's always been the heart issue. And the devil wants us to think that if we could just figure out the skin issue, everything will be fine, there will be peace. But while we're whacking on that whole racial inequality issue, other sins, greed, lust, pride, selfish ambition, there's always another mole to whack. And we're so busy trying to fix one thing instead of allowing Christ to work in the heart. And he, by his Holy Spirit, is able to transform from the inside out. It's like picking fruit. You can pick every apple off that tree. It's still an apple tree. And it's just a matter of time before it's going to produce again after its kind. And it has to be cut at the root, and the root is the heart. To kill it, you got to get at the root. The heart has to be transformed for Christ. Back to Haiti, it's 99.9% black population. And yet everywhere you go, and I'd really say 100% black, but I'm leaving a little, I'm like sanitizer, you know, leaving a little bit of 0.1%. And usually those are the visitors, white people that are visiting. Everywhere you go, on the walls is broken glass and razor wire because there's a lot of theft. And it's not black on white theft. And it's not white on black theft. It's black on black. Because the problem isn't their skin color. The problem is the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. And only Christ can change it. Back to the Oli joke. I won't repeat it, just trust me. But trying to improve the world with just human virtue is like trying to cut down a tree without starting the chainsaw. By trying to be good, let's just be good, let's just love people, let's just be kind, let's be forgiving. It's like, yes to all those things. But that's not going to change. In a way, you might be able to change some things, and we will continue to promote those things. But keep in mind, a person can have all kinds of outward behaviors modified and go straight to hell unless the heart is transformed by Christ. You can have great relationships with your neighbors, your black neighbors, your white neighbors, your brown neighbors, your whatever, if you work out the outward behavior modifications by getting along. But it's about a whole lot more than just getting along. Jesus didn't come to make us nice. He came to save souls forever. Forever. And make us nice. And deliver us from evil. And give us a new nature. He wants both. We don't just want to get along and have good relationships. He will fix the racial disparity because there's going to be a multitude of people that nobody can count that will be standing before the throne, from people from every nation, every tribe, all people groups of all languages will be brought together and stand before the throne in worship before a holy God. Jesus came to give us new hearts and not just new behaviors, but new transformed hearts, transformed by His Holy Spirit. It has to come from inside. So what can you do to end prejudice and racism, which we should be working towards? How can we bring God's blessing to every nation like He promised through Father Abraham? My advice is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the beginning. That's the overall practical, well, not so practical, but vision. That's the beginning point. Because the more you love the Lord your God and fall in love with Him and know Him and learn of Him and learn of His Word and how He showers His mercy and grace on you, that mercy and grace will overflow to all others around you, whoever they are, whatever skin color, whatever economic status, whatever background, whatever. Because that's what Jesus came to do, is transform us and use us to transform others. And then just pray and ask God how you can strengthen race relations. And I'm keen on that, but without compromising God's will in practical terms, in sexuality, to not dig into one and grab the other. It's one, you can't have sexual immorality with racial equality. Practically speaking, how do you do that? Ask God to show you. One way, go to one of the Somali general stores and go buy a can of pop and see them on guard watching a white person, and then see him smile and thank you for coming and say, Setahai. Setahai, that's another, how are you in Somali? And watch them melt. And I've done that, Benadir on Central Avenue. Go buy something. Go buy some dates, they're awesome. Build a bridge. And that's what we've been working on for years, years and years. Jesus perfectly reflected his Father. And here's my Father's Day message. Reflect your Heavenly Father to all people. In whatever way. Black, white, brown, yellow. They're all precious in his sight. And I do want to close with one scripture. A little bit of a long one, but I got you captive here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and it's not on the screen, and this is really different for me. It's kind of killing me not to have a PowerPoint. I just like the visual. I'm a visual guy. I like to keep your attention. You guys have been mesmerized by that this whole time, right? So, Galatians 5:16 says, so I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit, like the power of the chainsaw, is what has to come. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results. Sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group. This is the New Living Translation, by the way. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls your lives, our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. I just needed to share that. Feel free to talk to me anytime about it. But I believe God loves people and calls us to as well, but calls us to do it in a pure way, in a godly way, without compromising God's word. And how he works that out, I trust him that he's able to lead us in that, in those communications, in those decisions. And come what may, I'm going to stand before God. We will stand before God and give account of our lives. We're not going to stand before some culture group and have to explain ourselves. That's why, again, words like, and I don't want to get too heavy, but Jesus says, don't fear those who can only destroy the body. Fear the one who can destroy the soul and send it into the lake of fire. Fear him. Trust him. And we trust him that he cares about all nations more than we ever could. And so we need to practically show and shine the love of Christ, not in a compromised way, but in a pure way. Reflect the Father like Jesus did.